JazzCast Pros.
Welcome to the Healthy Illness Podcast, the podcast helping you build healthier relationships while living with mental health conditions. I'm your host, Kelly Marie. This episode is deep. It is good. Like, subscribe, and share. Thank you so much for listening. We are wrapping up our season on mindfulness and moving into movement and health and mental illness and our relationships with our body, what that looks like, what that feels like. But first, we have a multiple part interview with some incredible people that I absolutely love. You're only going to get the first little bit. So you're going to have to come back for the next couple episodes so you can get the full scoop. We talk about art and mindfulness and relationships and what married life is like when you're mindful. This couple is the real deal. If they are people, let us know. Shout them out. Let them know that you listened to the episodes, multiple episodes, because we talked for a very long time. And let me know what you think about this first section of our conversation. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at The Front Seat Life. You could email me at frontseatlife@gmail.com. Welcome to the Healthy Illness Podcast, the podcast helping you build healthier relationships while living with mental health conditions. I am your host, Kelly Marie. Big shout out to Wilma and Malcolm. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I appreciate you so much. We were just talking behind the scenes. I'm going to introduce you to our guest today. We were just talking about my trip to India and, you know, mindfulness and how I was looking for, not really expecting, but just looking for more of a mindful experience. And so this season is all about mindfulness. You have met both of my guests before, but I'm bringing them back because as creatives, as artists, as the incredible human beings that they are, they embody mindfulness and bring mindfulness into their workspaces. And I say workspaces because they do like all the things. So I am not going to do a formal introduction because I want them to talk about themselves and let's see how this vibe rolls out. But I just want to hear from the two of you how you want the world to see you, how you see yourselves, and let's just talk about mindfulness and art and healing. So I give you.
Well, thank you for having us, beautiful, and inviting us to your platform and to your podcast. And my name is Idris Wajid.
I'm Alexa Wajid.
And we are both co-founders of Eat Off Art, which is a what?
Collaborative of artists, educators, and entrepreneurs working to build a more empathetic community.
And we are also co-founders of Cultru Inc., C-U-L-T-R-U-E, which is, yes, a flip on culture, which is focused on making the arts accessible as a healing mechanism
to everyone. So that's who we are.
And what we do.
What we do.
Idris, I am a visual artist, among many other things. However, most people will know me as a visual artist. I am also a second generation jeweler. I'm a maker of things in general. I like making things, bringing things into existence from idea to paper to physical form. I exhibit artwork. I am a muralist, so I do murals in the public art space. I'm also an educator. I'm a music producer. I'm a poet, playwright, a dad, husband, like son. Like, the list is long and all the things I really enjoy doing.
So I am most people know me as a chef. I am also a visual artist and a jewelry designer. I am a feeler. And I am a mother, a wife, a daughter. I'm also a project manager. I am also customer service, hospitality person, and momager and manager. We have two creative boys who just fill us with a lot of hope for all things as well as our legacy to continue. Yeah, we just want to keep working and helping and healing our community.
I love it. I don't know if I told you guys, maybe not, but most downloaded podcast
of all of the podcasts are the Sugar Crush Sugar podcast that episodes that we did together.
Yes.
So of all time.
Wow.
Yes, Chef Alexa, you are, and that was before I got like the cool mic and used headphones. And,
that know, was like that was the other platform.
But you did.
Wow. That's awesome.
So the message is there, you know, and if you can talk about this piece, the two of you infuse realness into all that you do. There's no pretense. If there is, y'all so good at it, like you're masterful that it is there, like you're able to defy perception and discernment. So there, you know, no, not possible. So there's no pretense in you bringing you to the table. So what is that like? How did you get to that place to just be you?
Well, I think we've always been us. And being together for so long, we've gone through many iterations of, okay, we're not doing this. We are doing this. We're not doing this as a couple, as a united front. But I think in terms of in front of the camera and in terms of in front of our community, we were challenged to, you know, post, blog, do videos online. And we said, if we're going to do it, we're doing it with no editing and we're just showing up as who we are. And we did that for a good month. We did it for a month, but then we continued doing it. And then COVID happened. Then we really had to get real. So it's who we are. You know, we're all about making things simple and being who we are, being honest, being transparent, being vulnerable.
And we're also at the chronological life stage and age of where we've tried quite a few things. We know what it feels like. And you already know, and some of your listeners already know what it feels like, particularly as a Black individual, of all of the modes and switching and the adaptation and the conforming that we have to do.
Yep.
In several spaces in a day, in several ways, we have to chameleon ourselves into something.
Yeah.
And so we're at that age now where it's just like, okay, for years now, rather, it's like, we have to bet on ourselves as ourselves.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like betting on ourselves as ourselves, not who we want to become, but like who we are is who we are, man. And no matter what position we may find ourselves in, no matter what commission, no matter what job we get hired for, whatever that is, there is no occupation or vocation or position that is more authentic than the self.
Right.
So we try to align things that are aligned with who we are, as opposed to the other way around, as we try to align ourselves to the things we want. That's a whole different mindset. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where we are, really.
And so most people don't know that we've known each other for a year or two.
A year, a couple years.
Well, probably like 35 years.
That makes about 30 that years. Makes sense.
Yep. 35 years.
And never know.
Right?
Never no beef.
Just love.
Never.
Never.
There's many people I don't talk to anymore because.
Same. I know.
they got to know Kelly.
And you got to protect your peace.
But you guys have always been there for me and always just encouraged me to be authentic. Just in you living and you being encouraged me to be. Lex, you and I were at an event. Someone had a private event and we were there and they commented on your relationship and they said, man, that's the kind of relationship I want. I want a marriage like you guys. I was like, whoa, that you don't know. First of all, we only know what we see.
You don't know what's behind the curtain.
And then, I just be said, the first thing to come to my mind, I was like, why would you want that? Because in my mind, I'm like, you don't know what somebody went through to be able to show up as who they are. Why don't you want what's best for you? Because what works for them works for them.
I don't even remember that.
I caught myself because you do. Because then I was like, wait, I'm not saying y'all got a bad relationship. I'm just saying. Oh my goodness. And then I started stumbling over myself. I was like, Kelly, just be quiet.
That's funny.
It's just, I'm not saying you have a bad relationship. I don't know anything about the actual relationship. I'm just saying, what would you want for yourself?
But it's true. I mean, people say that all the time, like, oh, you know, but we're like, well, we're just being us, you know, and we've been through it. We've been together almost 24 years married. That was a lot of growth, a lot of learning, relearning, understanding, transformation, still going through changes at this half century mark. So it's a journey, but there's nobody else. I wouldn't have it any other way. I tell them every day when we wake up.
It's true. We all make choices as adults.
Yep.
Right.
And the one thing that we don't have is an option for divorce. We never play with that.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah.
We don't play with that.
It's an option that's open to anybody.
Well, of course. But
that's
don't.
Not something we even
it's not
play
in our
about.
Language.
We don't. It is not in our vocabulary. No. It ain't something we know people that have joked about stuff like that. We don't even joke about it. Like, it ain't nothing funny. Like, everything that we work for or work towards doing and the decisions we make are based around us spending more time together.
Yeah.
Which is odd for some people. However, that's how much, and it's not one of those things like, oh, I enjoy her so much. And this. If you have a companion that you enjoy and knowing that time is fleeting and that we are not guaranteed things, then do what you must in order to spend time with that person. So that way, that's my philosophy. So when it's all over and said and done, I know I left everything on the table. Right? No, there's no regrets, man. There's no regrets. So that's how I try to frame it. You know what I mean? So
sweet. What are some of the pit stops along the way that have gotten you here? Like, so thinking about mindfulness, thinking about health and wellness, thinking about being creatives.
Well, one of them is, like you mentioned, about being our authentic self. Like, people have the tendency to be very empathetic outside of their house, like outside of their, some people can practice that really simply and then be challenged to have that same empathy when there's somebody really close to you. So for us, we have always practiced that empathetic kind of practice, meaning, are you at your best self right now? If you aren't, how do I get you there? What do I need to do to help you get there? What are you missing? What do you need? And those are challenging and very difficult conversations to have. But there is no growth, and there's very little longevity if you aren't willing to have the tough conversations. One of those pit stops is several times by observation. Alexa, what's going on? Nothing's cool. It's nothing. No. Now, what's going on? Like, talk. You know what I'm saying? Tell me what's going on. Or, Idris, what's going on? You don't look the same. You look bummed. But, you know, it's this job, man. It's this whatever. And we make whatever decision and sacrifice that was necessary in order for the turn to happen, right? Everything in our lives is about some sort of turn. There's a moment where you can decide where something turns over, turns left, turns right, whatever. And so that's like one of the pit stops, as you would call them. Like, we've had several of those where we checked in with each other. What do you need?
Yeah.
All right. If that's what's causing issue for you not to be the best self, how do we get rid of that?
Yeah.
How do we supplement that? How do we complement that?
Like Idris said, we've played ping pong a lot of times. There are times when I wasn't happy with my job and I had to switch or I had to take a break, where Idris wasn't happy with his and he was just in a dark space because he wasn't being his authentic self. And it impacted the household. And we're like, he recognized it, but he didn't know what else to do until we talked. And we identified together that this isn't it and it's not healthy. So we made whatever changes we had to make, you know. So we've done that for each other. We've done that for our family unit, regardless of what it is. And I think that's made us stronger over the years. But it's also provided us a great intuition to understand that, okay, we need to be listening and we really need to stop, whether we stop the world, whether we stop what we're doing, but we just need to stop. We need to check in. We need to figure it out.
Yeah.
And where did you learn all that?
Ourselves.
Yep.
I'm sure somewhere within our generational line, there's been a model of what we're doing. But we haven't seen the model as we are going through this, whether it's how we deal with the situations, our successes, our path in terms of careers. We are truly being guided. We're just being guided. You know, we are doing what feels good to us. We make sure that we are insulated when it comes to if there are issues, if there are problems, that we make sure that we talk about it. We don't invite other people into our stuff. We don't ask other people like, oh, you know, Dries did this. What should I do? And oh my gosh. And oh my gosh. And I need some drama in my life. No, it's just us. And we don't want drama in our house, in our life, in our careers, in our work. We yeah. want peace.
That was, I was really early in the relationship. I was really, really, really driven by that. And Alexa couldn't understand that for some time because.
Understand what?
Like the need for only your opinion to matter to me and my opinion to matter to you. Like when we first started, when we first recording.
You think
so? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Because I didn't have, she has girlfriends.
Oh,
right?
And sisters.
She has girlfriends and sisters. I have one older sister and maybe some brothers, right? So I wasn't.
There's a difference.
Yeah. So brothers aren't necessarily conferring with each other like, yo, man, so what do you think, man? Lex went out last night and whatever. Women that I come from a big woman family. That's all that I know. Like, that's their sounding board. That's where they're getting experience and all these things from. And I'm like.
Yeah. But I've never looked for that, though.
I'm not saying you didn't look for it.
No, I know.
I was saying I was strong on the fact of, like, that's cool having people there. That's cool. But you and I need to look face to face because we're the ones that got to go sleep with this.
Right.
And we got to wake up with this regardless what anybody else suggests is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Oh.
So I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm just saying.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Like from day one, I was just like, man, we going to figure this out. That's just always been my role. We got to figure this out. You know, there's been situations where, you know, very close family members on both of our sides was like, ooh, if I was y'all, I would. OK,
no.
Cool. That's coming.
Do that.
That's coming from love. I get it.
Love, fear.
But who's paying the cost in this?
Right.
Right.
And we recognize that from, again, early on, that when people did talk to us or give us advice, you know, whether it was marital advice or parenting advice, it all came from a place of fear. Right. And we didn't like how that felt. Right. So I think looking back, we were those generational curse breakers in terms of this stops here.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. This is the way we've always done it. Cool. Until now.
Yeah.
Until now.
Yep.
Right. And we'll tell you all about it once we go through it, because we're going to go through it.
Yeah.
And the part about going through it is that we hold dear is that oftentimes a lot of our traumas, just I'm talking in general, not just black and brown, but oftentimes a lot of our traumas come from us listening to sound advice, what sounds like sound advice. We take that advice, but then with that, everything that comes after it now is the blame of Kelly.
Yeah.
Right. Now it's the blame of, if I ain't listen to you, then if I ain't, right.
Yeah.
And so that becomes a tear, that becomes a scar. That just kind of is always hard to get over. But if you're making decisions based on what's best for you at the least harm of anybody else involved, right, then you can kind of stand on that and just be like, you know, win and lose. I'm here because of me.
Right.
You
know? My decision. Right? This is what I decided to do.
Which has its own weight to carry. It has its own weight to carry, too. Mm-hmm. You know?
So, yeah, it's a lot of stations.
And we've talked over the years about not just mindfulness, but being healthy and being mentally healthy and what that's like as a creative and marrying those two ideals of ideas. Can you just talk about that, what that looks like from your lenses?
As a creative, mindfulness, right?
I actually posed this question to myself recently. Well, no, somebody posed it to me, then I had to kind of elaborate on it for myself. They said, well, what do you do for fun? And I was like, because what they see us do for work is all arts-based. It's all creativity-based. So they said, what do you do for fun? And I was like, I have, to the point of mindfulness, I have never separated the fun from the practice of what I do.
Right.
Like, I enjoy it. Like, I'm not one of those like, oh, I love making art so much. I'm not one of those people. However, I stand on the decision that I've made for my life. Mm-hmm. I made a decision to eat off art. Mm-hmm. That's who we are, the co-founders of. We made decisions. This is how we're going to go at it. And this is the attempt we're going to make.
Right.
So the mindfulness for our practice that we have to create, sometimes it has nothing to do with art. Sometimes it has nothing to do with creativity. Those wheels and those machines are always running in the back of our head, in the back of our minds. I meditate every day. People ask, like, what do you get out of it? I can't tell you, but I can tell you that I'm better for it, because when I don't like how I feel. I journal. I fell off of my journaling journey. I would journal like every single day, but a creative house has a living house, so stuff's all over the place. So my writing station is all a mess. So I didn't write for like 2 months. But meditating, writing, reading, like all these things aren't necessarily in the creative space when you think of art, but they're definitely in the space of mindfulness, you know, where I'm just doing a thing. And those things, I don't have any judgment on them. They don't necessarily have a time limit on them. They don't have anything to do necessarily with our professional work, our practice. However, the good part about it is that all of those things, like I don't take my art practice into the reading, into the journaling, into the meditation. However, the meditation, the reading, the writing definitely goes into the art practice, right? Like, so it's a different kind of flow when you think about it that way.
Well, my mindfulness practice is different from his. I mean, I meditate. I don't do it every day, but I do it, you know, and I have a butterfly brain.
Yeah, you don't have a routine like that.
So I definitely don't have the routine, but my mindfulness comes in when I'm doing the things that I enjoy. So the cooking, you know, I can zone out doing cooking. I can zone out just thinking about dishes and how to craft them and create them. I zone out when I'm washing dishes. That's also like my mindfulness space. Whenever I can sit and just be still and quiet my mind, even if it's 5 minutes, that's my time to just be at peace, right? Because all the time my mind is racing. And it sounds weird and it sounds counterproductive, but sometimes when I can just get in a bead of working and performing and doing what I need to do, I'm good. And that's all I need to do. But as I get older, I do recognize I need to get more of a routine with mindfulness, because of whether it's my people-pleasing habits or my active brain, whatever it is, I know that I need to slow down because my body's telling me that. And I think art has been helping me. So I have a practice. My artwork and my visual artwork is my mindfulness practice as well, where I can just sit and I can draw my lines and I can make my jewelry and I can just zone out.
And part of our mindfulness practice, too, is that two things. One, we try to go on walks.
Oh, yeah. Walking is definitely important.
Like, and it's not long. It's like 30 minutes sometimes. Just go walk, right? We'll be like, oh, we walked 30 minutes. Let's go walk because we got work to do. Yeah. So we get back home, shower, do whatever.
Incorporating the gym practice is also another one. Just making sure we exercise and get that together.
And the other thing I want to mention is the check-ins. Like, we check in with each other.
Yeah, we do.
Like, that, there's mindfulness in that. Like, how are you, right? Like, how are you today, right? Mm-hmm. Because we both, as entrepreneurs, we don't have a staff. We don't have employees.
Just us.
We don't have a team. It's just she and I. It can be taxing. It can be very overwhelming. It can draw up a lot of fear. It can draw up a lot of worry. Alexa pops up by, you know, sometimes she's goes to bed early, 10, 11 o'clock. She's waking up at 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, because she's thinking about things.
Yeah.
Same thing with me. I get into these ruts where I'm just worrying, because literally the way that we're feeding ourselves is through the art.
Which is stressful. Like, it's not an easy thing.
Yeah. There's no 2 weeks.
Saving us with the check.
Yeah. There's no every 2 weeks that we look in the bank and it's just like, oh, no, I'm getting paid. No, it's if
there's no automatically going to the doctor and be like, oh, yeah, here's my copay. Here's my card. No.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee with any of it. And that's a decision that we made.
Yeah.
And we made it together. It was an intentional decision because we recognized the importance of authentically being ourselves. And having the ability to create at will for ourselves and to show up as ourselves when we create. So the other part of mindfulness and creativity is that part of being mindful and creative when it comes to Eat Off Art is not doing work that isn't ours, not doing work that people dictate to us, not doing work that we have to do in order to be successful and people to like us. So that's where we're able to be authentic, and it allows us to be mindful and present with our work because we're not going outside of ourselves to create something in order to garner our income.
That's good. And I'm sitting here as you're talking like, could I? No, Kelly, you can't. No, you need to check every 2 weeks. You just be happy for them where they are in their journey. You just go to work in the morning.
All the politicians and other people get us some grants to help us do the work we need to do.
We all have a space and place to be in. Mine is over there. And it all works out together.
Yeah, that's a longer conversation.
That's a longer conversation.
Because I'd be like, Kelly, and that's the thing. You can see other things for other people.
Right.
Right? Like, I can tell you in a separate conversation, like, Kelly, yo. I can tell you all the reasons and all the ways that I see how powerful, how brilliant and amazing you are to do whatever you decided to do.
That's it.
However, and I hear what you're saying, too. Because we come from that world. Like, we come from that world, man. Mm-hmm. And I will never knock it. I don't downplay it. Nope. I don't down talk. Like,
nope.
I know what it's like. I just have.
He's come from a different cloth.
Yeah, but for me, it's like, I know what I'm absolutely good at. And I like being good at a particular thing. I don't like being mediocre at a thing. Right. So what you're doing, you're excellent at. Right. Like you're top of the craft, even though like you said, you're still going for these other, you know, achievements or whatever. Not necessarily for recognition, but this is just where you're striving for your growth. For me, I don't care. I could work anywhere, but I know I'd be good at it. But there's somebody who's going to even be better than me at it because they don't have the thing that I have.
Right.
Right. And the thing that I have is what I'm acting on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's me being an artist. It's me being a creative. It's me being free and out here taking the bumps, taking the hits and taking the, you know, the losses and learnings and all. It's not without scar, man. It's not without scar or bruise. However, I'd rather be the best at that. I'd rather be the best at being Idris, you know, and defining what that looks like for myself.
For yourself.
Yeah.
That's important. And everybody can't do it. And we recognize that. But what we try to do in our work is you may not be able to define who you are, or be who you are, right? For whatever reason, at your core. But what we do with our work is we offer people the tools so that they can take those moments back within their day so that they can just be who they are. Be still, be mindful, be creative, which all of us at our core, because we used to be kids, we're creative, right? Kids are creative. Creative imagination, creative words, creative thoughts, creative drawings. And we've all been kids before. Mm-hmm. So being able to go back to that place and allowing them the permission and the skill and the instruction to say, okay, take 5, 10, or 15 minutes and just doodle on a piece of paper and go back to that spot, even for that amount of time, so that you can recharge your battery and get back up the next day so you can do what you know you have to do and that you're good at, and that you won't become stale in what you're doing and what you love.
And adulting is still be there waiting for you.
Each and every time.
That's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, I ain't got no time. I got so much to do. Well, you don't take time to just have some mindfulness in there. What are you rushing towards? The adulting's still there.
Yeah.
So it's there waiting for you. So take your time. Take your time and do this little thing, because trust me, it's still going to be there for you to take, you know, to challenge us.
So I told you this was going to be a good conversation. We're coming back for more. Join us next week
like, subscribe, and share. If you need someone to talk to, something resonated in this first part of our conversation and you're looking for resources, you want to know how you can create and build healthier relationships within the spaces where you need assistance, call 211. 211 is a nationwide network. You can either call or go online. They will give you resources in your area to be able to live a healthier life, live the type of life that you want for yourself. So 211 on the phone, in the app, or in your browser. And, you know, life is rough. And you may need someone to talk to, and you may or may not have a therapist, or maybe it's after hours and you need someone right now. You can dial 988 on your phone. Call 988. Just put 988 and hit the talk button on your phone, and you will be connected with a person who's there 24 hours a day to talk, to listen, to hear you. You are not alone. I encourage you to call for yourself or call for a loved one if someone is struggling right now and you don't quite know what to say to them. You can dial 988 and talk to someone who is trained to help you through this difficult time. Until next week, I encourage you to be the light, share the episode, let Adrice and Alexa know that you're listening, that you heard them, whether or not you vibe with the message and where they're coming from. We want to hear from you. So let us know in the comments. You can find them at Eat Off Art and Cold True. Cold True, like culture, but Cold True. And yeah, hit them up. Let them know. Until the next time, be the light.